I'm Ed Gordon. This is News and Notes. The organization Concerned Alumni of Princeton was founded in 1972, the same year Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito graduated from the school. The conservative group campaigned against affirmative action and other policies designed to increase the enrollment of women and students of color. Alito's alleged past membership in the organization prompted questions from Democrats during his nomination hearings this week. Juan Williams and our political insiders are with us now to talk more about the fireworks surrounding the hearings. Juan.
Thanks, Ed. I'm joined by Donna Brazile, former campaign manager for Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore in 2000. Donna now runs her own political consulting firm in Washington. Also with us is Reverend Joseph Watkins, member of the Governmental Relations Group at Buchanan Ingersoll, and a member of the first President Bush's White House staff. Reverend Watkins joins us today from our NPR New York Bureau. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Juan.
Thanks, Juan.
The talk of Washington and much of the nation are the hearings being held on the nomination of Samuel Alito to sit on the U.S. Supreme Court. Joe Watkins, one of the points of controversy is about his membership in a group called CAP, and that was a Princeton University student group that opposed the increased admission of minorities and women. Is this a point of alarm for you as an African-American Republican?
Well, for me, the challenge is to suppose that if I was being nominated by the President of the United States for to hold a position on the highest court in the land, and the only thing that my adversaries could find about me was the fact that I belonged to a club, and that some of the people who were in that club, who I may not have personally known, may have made some statements that with which I didn't agree that were reprehensible, I would just think that was not fair. And that's what I think about this. I think that trying to link Samuel Alito to the statements that have been made by some members of that organization is just not fair. It shows that there really isn't a lot in terms of criticism that they're able to level at Sam Alito.
Donna Brazile, do you remember what clubs you were in while you were in college?
Absolutely. I was a member of the student government body, Black United Student. And in fact, I remember all of the opposition groups to the clubs that I joined. Look, I think this raises a lot of serious credibility problems for Judge Alito. During his 1985 application to become a political appointee in the Reagan administration, he boasted about his membership in CAP. And all of a sudden, he has this memory loss that he can't remember joining. Or if he did, he remembered he joined because the ROTC program was at jeopardy. I think Judge Alito has been evasive in his answers. He has not been forthcoming in talking about his values, his views. We don't want to know where he stands on these issues. We know that many of these issues will come before the courts, like affirmative action, like death penalty, like abortion rights. But we want to know a little bit more about his value system. And thus far, we haven't heard a lot.
Well, wait a second now. Joe Watkins just said it's not fair to besmirch Judge Alito's reputation by saying that he should be held accountable for something some group did a long time ago.
Absolutely, Juan. It's not enough to say, I can't recall. I don't recall. He put it on his application. He filled it out with his own handwriting. No one forced him to fill out that application for a political job. He put that on the application because he understood that had merit in helping him land a job in a very conservative administration. Look, I joined liberal organizations as a college student. I stand behind being a card-carrying member of the ACLU. Judge Alito should stand behind his membership in CAP. That's all.
Joe Watkins?
Sam Alito, I think, is so incredibly well qualified. The ABA, of course, has given him the highest rating possible because of his judicial temperament and his background. And I see no reason why this man ought not be confirmed to be the next Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court.
We shouldn't stand behind the JDs and the PhDs behind his name. We should stand behind where he has stood on important issues that has come before the courts, especially Third Circuit. And there are a lot of important issues that have come before the courts that have direct impact on African Americans and having a justice who will fairly administer the law. This is about protecting individual rights and liberties. And where you sit in life is often where you stand, and therefore we need to know where he stands on these important issues.
He does have a record that shows where he stands. I mean, Judge Alito has repeatedly ruled in favor of minorities, making allegations of racial discrimination in employment. I mean, that's, I guess, part of the underlying allegation of, or at least the charge that he was a member of CAP, that he would somehow or another be against minorities. And this couldn't be further from the truth. He's got a real history. Smith versus Davis v. Davis. He voted to reserve a grant of summary judgment against an African-American man's claim that he had been discriminated against in employment on the basis of race. And it's happened again and again in Zuby versus AT&T Corp, and Gooseby versus Johnson & Johnson Medical, and Collins versus Slode, and the list goes on. So this is somebody who has a history of doing the right thing when it comes to people of color.
Well, that record is very mixed, and I can also give you a laundry list of cases on employment discrimination, race discrimination, as well as individual rights and free speech, where his record on race and fairness is at question.
Well, let me come to the two of you to wrap up this discussion of Judge Alito. There's not one person of color doing the questioning of Judge Alito, Republican or Democrat. Is that a problem?
Well, it's the makeup of the United States Senate, and unfortunately, over the past decades, we've had a problem electing qualified African-Americans to the Senate. Hopefully, in the 2006 cycle, with such qualified African-Americans running, we will correct that error.
That's absolutely right. You've got some great people running for the U.S. Senate. Michael Steele is going to be running for the U.S. Senate, of course, from Maryland, and has a very good chance to win. That ought to change the balance somewhat, at least with regards to representation of people of color in the U.S. Senate.
And we're looking forward to Harold Ford being elected from Tennessee and Kwasi Nfumi from Maryland.
Okay, I think I see Nfumi versus Steele in the room. I've been joined by Donna Brazil, former campaign manager for Democratic presidential nominee Al Gore. Donna Brazil now runs her own political consulting firm here in Washington. And from New York, Reverend Joseph Watkins, a member of the government relations group at Buchanan Ingersoll, and a member of the first President Bush's White House staff. Thank you both for joining us on Political Corner.
Thank you,
Thanks
Juan.
So much, Juan.
And back to you, Ed.
Thanks, Juan. Join us every Thursday to hear more from Juan Williams and our political insiders right here on Political Corner.